A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Trevor underscore Lane. Trevor, what's happening? How are you?
Gabe, I'm doing well. Excited for the Las Vegas Summer League to get kicked off tomorrow and had a lot of fun watching Team USA.
Yep.
It's nice to have some basketball to watch, some NBA players in action this time of year.
100%. Like we are right here in the thick of it as far as like what I do every day, July 11th. Like it is, it's slim pickings as far as sports topics are concerned. But I'm glad we got some Team USA stuff coming down the pipe, and we have Summer League. But let me start with Summer League for you. We'll get to Team USA in a second. Being that you cover the Lakers, is the Bronny James Jr. stuff starting to get a little bit annoying, or a lot bit annoying? I mean, all of the conversation and the dialogue every single day about the 55th pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly overblown. I mean, I think that part of it is, where else are we going to pay attention to right now? I mean, there's no Victor Wembanyama in this draft. There's no Zion or somebody like that to really, you know, generate the headlines. So it's a combination of his name is LeBron James, and that's part of it, right? But it's also that there is no, you know, true star or breakout star, it appears, in this draft class. So that's really magnified things on him. But yeah, I mean, for a guy who's the 55th pick, who knows for sure what he'll be, but
right,
probably projects to be a role player if he makes it in the NBA, which is still very much a question mark. It's a lot of attention on this type of player that you wouldn't typically see.
Yeah, but a normal 55th pick, we never know if they're ever going to carve out a role too. But it's just like the amount of people that are doubting it and not even giving him a chance to grow through this process. It's strange to me. I know that he didn't, you know, in his 2 games and at the California Classic were not the greatest thing in the world. But it was the least surprising thing in the world to me that he didn't look like a polished player at this point. I don't know if that's going to happen until year 2 or year 3, right?
Well, absolutely. And I think the funny thing is there's a bit of a misunderstanding of what it is that he is as a player. We still, even today, we tend to immediately go to the points column when we decide whether or not a player had a good game. Did they score 20 points? If not, they didn't have a good game. That's not even what Bronny is as a player. He's not really a scorer. People are looking for him to drop 15 to 20 points in summer league. He's a defensive player. And so last game, I thought he actually had some really nice defensive plays. Had 3 blocks, had 2 steals, but everybody wants to point to, oh, he's a bust. He only had 3 points because there's all this just negativity built up
right
around him. People upset that he got picked with the 55th selection and completely missing that he actually had a pretty good game for his skill set and what it is that he does out there on the floor. It's and scoring is not that thing.
Yeah, and I love hearing the bust word. Like, I don't know if you really can bust at pick 55, but I digress. And you said that
right,
there are no real stars. How about Zach Edey for the Grizzlies? 1 game down in Salt Lake City Summer League, and he had 14 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks. That was about as good a first game, you know, considering the role he's going to play with the Grizzlies, that he could have had.
Yeah, that was fun because the Grizzlies had some guys who were part of the rotation last season. Like G.G. Jackson was out there. You had Scottie Pippen Jr. Now, unfortunately, I guess we're part of the rotation because due to injury that some of these guys were playing. But Jake LaRavia was out there. You saw some guys that we were used to seeing.
Right.
And then the Jazz had a similar thing. You know, you had like Sensabaugh was out there for them and Walker Kessler. And I think that the Walker Kessler being out there was actually the most exciting part of what we saw from Zach Edey, because there's not that question now of, well, what's he going to look like against an NBA guy? No, he was playing against an NBA guy. He was playing up against a really good player in Walker Kessler, and Zach Edey still held his own and then some. So I think Grizzlies fans should be really excited and optimistic based on what we saw from Zach Edey in that game. Because, again, not only did he perform well in Summer League, but he did it against competition that is not typical of Summer League. He did it against a legit NBA guy.
Now, I want to rewind a little bit. Like, without even having seen that game, let's act like you have not seen that game. What did you think about him picked at ninth for the Grizzlies?
You know, I thought it made sense because they needed a center. I was higher on Zach Edey than some people. A lot of people saying, oh, he's not going to make it in the NBA. He can't move well enough, and teams are going to drag him onto the perimeter and all that stuff. But I thought, given what the Grizzlies need and given the fact that they were rumored to try to move up to get Donovan Klingon, but that simply wasn't there. I thought it was a fine pick at nine, given the team's needs and the fact that you could plug him in right away and solve a problem for the squad. So I thought it made a lot of sense at nine, and I didn't have any issues with it whatsoever. I know there were mocks projecting him back at 20 or something, but if you're the Grizzlies, you need a center. He's plug and play. He's ready to go right now, and I think he fits great with the team. So why not take him, especially in this year's draft class when it's such a flat class?
And you know what? Like, as far as like getting drug out to the perimeter and getting picked on in switches, you know who also got picked on in switches? Steven Adams. You know who also got picked on in switches even before that? Jonas Valanciunas. I think that the Grizzlies have gotten to this point where you need a center to set screens, get rebounds, and potentially finish around the rim, be a lob threat. I think he fits those things day one. Those are just non-negotiables with him, right? It doesn't seem like those are going to be issues for him, even at the NBA level.
Oh, yeah. He's a massive screen setter. I mean, John Morant's going to get all kinds of space when he gets a screen from him. And Dez, the same thing, Desmond Bane. So I think he's going to be a tremendous day one presence for them that can step in and contribute immediately. Now, I don't think he's going to play like 35 minutes a night.
Sure.
But I do think he's going to step in right away. He's going to be a rotation player. And he's the guy that can fill a real role for this team, for a team that is going to be on the rise. It's almost like they're kind of the forgotten team in the Western Conference, because last season just fell to pieces, almost didn't really exist for Memphis. But they can be right back in the thick of things. Back Keith on our show yesterday, my podcasting partner, Keith Smith, he predicted that the Grizzlies would be the team to make the leap up into title contention in the West. They were his surprise team. And I think he may be right there. I think they can bounce back in a big, big way next year, and then Zach Edey can be a major piece for them.
And then there's also been this other conversation about the Grizzlies. Before we move on to Team USA, I know I'm a little long-winded with the Grizzlies, but that's what my listeners and my listenership wants to hear. But there's also, like, you look around the Western Conference, the teams that got better, really, OKC and the Mavs. Are there any other teams in the Western Conference that, you know, through the free agent window that you now became scared of, or like through this beginning portion of the offseason that you became scared of? I think the Mavs and the Thunder are the only two from my vantage point that really have put themselves in that category. I think the Nuggets are still good, but they didn't get themselves better. They let KCP walk. Clippers certainly got worse. Lakers have not done a whole lot to get themselves better. Warriors, yeah, Buddy Hield, but I don't know how much better that makes you after letting go of Klay Thompson. It feels like those are the two teams at the top, right?
Yeah, I think that when you look at the Western Conference, it's the impact of the new collective bargaining agreement, where you've got guys leaving teams that, frankly, under the old rules would not have. Paul George would still be a Clipper if the old CBA was still in effect. Same thing with KCP and the Denver Nuggets, but this is what the NBA wants. They want more parity across the league. So in terms of which teams have made the leap in the West, I've got one more team that I would add into that mix, and that's the Sacramento Kings.
Okay,
I buy the DeMar DeRozan edition. I look at where the Kings struggled this last year. Free throw shooting. They were the lowest team in the NBA in free throw percentage because most of their free throws were being taken by De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, and both of them are low 70s in terms of percentage. That dragged them down. DeRozan gets to the rim, gets to the free throw line a lot, makes a high percentage. He's going to pull them up in their efficiency in that area. And then what really was the death knell for the Kings this year was the injury to Malik Monk. They just can't sustain their offense when both Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox are unavailable. And so Fox resting at all was pretty much the end of their offensive production. Now you bring in DeMar DeRozan, you can throw him the ball, let him go to work. He can even operate out of pick and roll. So I think he's a really nice addition that solves some problems for this team. He's not going to be a defensive dynamo for them. There's some drawbacks here, of course, but I do think he makes them better. So I would put Sacramento in the mix of teams that improved this offseason because they got DeRozan, and it was big that they retained Malik Monk as well.
Right, but there's a couple of things about that fit that concern me. Can you alleviate those concerns? The three-point ball, obviously the defense as well, and then I do wonder, they have run that two-man game consistently with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, where those guys are touching the ball most often. DeMar DeRozan, he needs the ball in his hands consistently. Like, can you alleviate my concerns on that, or is that something I'm just going to have to see at work when they actually get on the floor together?
So I had those concerns initially as well. And offensively, we'll have to see what Mike Brown can come up with in terms of maintaining floor spacing, because you did have Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray out there on the perimeter. Teams couldn't leave them. They'll be able to cheat off of DeRozan a little bit. I think the Kings are going to have to stress that he becomes more of a willing corner three shooter, which he can knock down at an okay percentage. But there is going to be that slight spacing concern there compared to Harrison Barnes. But, you know, it's the fact that he's replacing Harrison Barnes. If he was replacing Keegan Murray or something, it would be different. But Harrison Barnes had the worst net rating on the Kings of guys who played any kind of significant minutes.
Okay.
His defense wasn't quite what it used to be, so I don't think the defensive drop-off is going to be quite as bad. It is still there. It exists. But I think the offensive improvement, especially in those minutes when Fox is off the floor, is going to be enough to more than mitigate those concerns. So I'm a believer in the De'Aaron Fox, or in the DeMar DeRozan addition. I think he can add something to this team. Part of that is because of who he's replacing, and the fact that I think Harrison Barnes kind of lost a step this last season, and that DeMar DeRozan just has a bit more to give, especially on that offensive end of the floor.
All right, now talking with Trevor Lane at Trevor_Lane from Lakers Nation, also the front office show with Keith Smith on X at Trevor_Lane. Now, with Team USA, I want to make first things first. Kawhi Leonard steps back, and it sounds like Grant Hill and everybody in Team USA sort of facilitated that. They replace him with Derek White over Jaylen Brown. What'd you make of that move in particular? It seems like Jaylen Brown's not very happy with it.
You know, I thought it made sense because we're talking about one of the last roster spots. And with one of the last roster spots, I'm not worried about talent. I'm not worried about upside. I'm worried about fit. I'm looking for somebody that can step in and solve a specific problem. Team USA, over the years, they've struggled mostly with defending quick guards from opposing teams. And so you need somebody who can chase these guys around. Steph Curry's not the guy that's going to do that. Tyrese Halliburton's defense is kind of hit or miss. Drew Holiday is certainly a guy, but he's one guy. And so you add Derek White into the mix, and you've got another versatile, switchy defensive player that doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's just going to pick his spots, hit threes when those are opened up for him. And so it makes sense from that perspective. I know people look at it as, well, he's replacing Kawhi. Shouldn't you be getting another wing? I'd question whether Kawhi was even the best fit as another wing on the team. I think he was in that spot simply because he's Kawhi Leonard, when what the team really needs is another gritty defensive guard. And so you get that in Derek White. Jaylen Brown, no question, is the better player.
Right.
But in terms of fit, I understand why they went with Derek White.
How much do you buy into you needed someone, too, who was going to get limited minutes and wouldn't complain about it? Because that was definitely, that's a conversation that has come up pretty prevalently.
Absolutely, and that's part of it, too. Again, when we're talking about one of the last roster spots, who's going to be okay with sitting there and not playing? Because you know what? A lot of questions are going to get asked to Jaylen Brown if he's not playing. Hey, why aren't you playing? Are you okay with this? Because he's that next tier of player. For Derek White, everybody knows what that entails, especially given the other talent on this roster. But Jaylen Brown is somebody who sees himself as a peer to guys like LeBron and AD and Tatum and KD and all those other guys. So there is certainly that dynamic to it as well.
Now, all said and done, like just looking at the way that this team is constructed, it doesn't seem like they're going to have much issue running through the Olympics. I mean, last night they had erratic subs where they're just doing like full-on, you know, line switches every 5 minutes. They were in full exhibition mode, it seemed like, offensively. And they still handled business relatively easily against a team that's supposed to be in their weight class in Canada, who has a lot of good talent, but they won by 14. This roster seems phenomenal. Like, it just seems very, very good. And I think you could put it up on the same level, or at least close to the same level as the Dream Team and Redeem Team.
Yeah, I think that the difference will be that the rest of the world has caught up quite a bit since the Dream Team, when players were taking pictures with the stars from the U.S. and they were just excited to be playing against them. The rest of the world has caught up quite a bit. So Team USA could be caught napping on any given night, but there were definitely some encouraging things. And what I loved, they started, the score was 11-1. At one point, Canada was up. The U.S. just couldn't buy a shot. But even then, like, you could feel that everything was under control. Like, just they needed a few shots to drop, and they were going to be just fine. I loved that we saw Drew Holiday in the starting lineup. Yep. That was the move that I was calling for. He makes so much sense next to these guys that are great scorers. Hopefully that's something that sticks, because his defensive impact was apparent right away. I liked the pairing of Bam Adebayo and Anthony Davis as well.
It's nuts,
isn't
it?
Two extremely versatile bigs that can contest anywhere on the floor. That was a lot of fun watching that game, and very, very exciting when you consider the upside of Team USA. I think they can still be threatened by some teams, but that was a very, very exciting performance that we saw from them last night.
And the other part we do have to throw in there, no Kevin Durant. I think as soon as the starting lineup gets, you have Kevin Durant back, I think he'll be entered into the starting lineup. And honestly, I don't know how much it matters, because you have a bunch of superstars regardless, even in that second group. But it feels like Steph, LeBron, KD, that's going to be a starting point for that first group. I think Drew Holiday, maybe Embiid there. But is that sort of how you view this thing going? I can't imagine with, you know, Kevin Durant's long Olympic history, the leading scorer for men's basketball in men's Olympic history, that he'll be a guy that would be coming off the bench, or, you know, Steph or LeBron. Those guys seemingly should be in the starting lineup, just considering what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, 100%. I think the four guys that I've got locked into the starting lineup are Steph, LeBron, KD, and Embiid. And then the question becomes, who's the fourth guy? And Anthony Edwards, of course, would like to make his case.
But you got to supplement it with defense, like, right?
Exactly. Defense, a guy who's going to hit the open shot and going to do everything on the defensive end of the floor. I love what we saw to him last night. And I like the dynamic of, hey, Anthony Edwards, you still say you're the guy, you're a 1A guy. Well, guess what? You get to be that for the bench unit now, because now you don't have to worry about sharing with LeBron and KD and all these other guys. Now you get to run the bench unit. Here's the ball. Go do your thing. I thought that actually worked out really well. It was pretty smart by Steve Kerr.
Yeah, now, I don't know what to think about this, but Joel Embiid, that was bad last night. He did not look good. I know they won by 14 and they cruised, but he fouled out in the third quarter. He had four turnovers, only 5 points. He's still doing that NBA-style foul hunting, but we know the international game, you tend to get less foul calls in those situations.
Yes, he's the guy that's going to be negatively impacted the most by the international rules, because it's a more physical game, and some of the calls that he gets at the NBA level, he's just not going to get. He was taking, 10, 11 free throws a game in the NBA. That's not going to happen in the international game. So it's going to be an adjustment period for him. That's going to be the big question mark, is can he get up to speed in the international game by the time the Olympics roll around? The joke was going around across social media that Steve Kerr made a brilliant decision by letting Embiid foul out in the third quarter so that he could go back to Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo.
Right.
Because it was a stinker of a performance from Joel Embiid.
Yep. Now, the one thing I've been trying to sort of do, ever since the roster got published, and I know we had the change with Derek White being substituted for Kawhi Leonard, I don't think it changes that much. I've been trying to sort of put my finger on what I think about this roster and what makes it better than a lot of rosters in the history of Team USA. And I think the word I came to was versatility. You have AD and Bam, a crazy front court defensive duo. Drew Holiday can play defense. Like last night in the first half, he held SGA and Jamal Murray to 3-for-13 from the field. Feels like every big, as opposed to like the history of basketball, every big has a different style, or a style where, you know, they can score at all three levels. Embiid and AD can score at all three levels. Bam is a big who can initiate offense. And then I think, best three-point shooting in the world. Only person really on that roster who cannot knock down a three at a great clip as Bam Adebayo. It just feels like this team is as versatile a team as we've seen in Team USA history.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Kerr, whatever type of style you want to play, he can do it. I mean, you can play whatever. You want to play big, you want to play small, you want to focus on getting into the paint, you want to focus on your exterior shooting. Whatever it is you want to do, you can do it with this roster. You've got that kind of versatility, and that is going to be, I think, a major weapon for the U.S. because there will be teams that will cause them to shift their strategies a bit. Sure. Here and there. But I really think that this is a great group and an exciting one. And I think one that, like you said, has that versatility to respond to any threat that they're presented with. And I also think there's a little bit of, following last year with the World Cup, there's a little bit of kind of a revenge tour mentality. And that we've seen historically leads to some good things for the U.S.
Yeah, now the other thing is, with this team in particular, I don't see a lot of, like, weak links. I guess some people could argue Derek White, but again, he's the 12th guy on the roster. But, like, with the Dream Team, you had Larry Bird and Magic Johnson on their last hoorah. And then Christian Laettner was put in there because he was the best college player at the time. And then you have, with the Redeem Team, like, people forget about this. I know how well that team is regarded in history, but that was Michael Redd, Tayshaun Prince, Carlos Boozer, not necessarily Hall of Fame players by any stretch of the imagination on that team. It doesn't feel like you have those type of weak links on this team, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got everybody can step in and contribute in some kind of meaningful way. And I think Derek White is in that mix, too. I think very highly of him, his ability to step in and contribute as well. So you've got everybody across the roster that can step up in any given moment. And that, you know, that's going to allow Steve Kerr to ride the hot hand as well. If Anthony Edwards has it going one game, then okay, here you go. Take off for us, put on the Superman cape, and we're off and running. So I think you're right. I think that 1 through 12, they've got everybody on this team that can contribute. Embiid's having a rough game. Guess what? Here's AD. Here's Bam Adebayo. You've got all these other guys that you can turn to, which is going to be a weapon for Team USA, especially when we're looking at Olympic play. We're talking about five fouls, and you're out of there. They're going to need their depth, and they sure do have it.
It just strikes me, too. It's like the perfect mix of old guys, old superstars that still can actually play, and young guys that are stepping directly into their prime, because we've seen in the past, like I mentioned with Magic and Larry Bird, they were on their last leg. They didn't really have much that they could provide. LeBron, Steph, and KD are still, you know, maybe not in their prime by any stretch of the imagination, but they're still at a certain peak of their game where they can still be the best players on the floor at any given time, any given moment, regardless of their age.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, LeBron was named as the best player in training camp, and he's going to be 40 in December.
Right.
So these are still players who are able to contribute at an extremely high level. These are all-time greats. You know, you've got the greatest shooter ever. You've got LeBron. You've got AD. You've got, and that's part of the I think, the motivating factor here, too. This is kind of a last hurrah mentality. Next Olympics, LeBron's not going to be there. Curry's not going to be there. Anthony Davis probably isn't going to be there. Who knows what condition Joel Embiid will be in at that point. Kevin Durant's not going to be there. But this is these guys saying, hey, let's do this one more time and let's get this job done. I think that is going to be an important mindset for this group as well.
And I think people need to realize Steph Curry for the first time. That's insane to me. This is his first Olympics that he's participating in. But, hey, it is what it is. Now, final thing, of the other, you know, countries involved in the Olympics, who are the teams that concern you the most? I think France would probably be up there. Canada was one that would be up there if I didn't see them get beat by 14 with no KD last night on the American side. Like, who are the teams that you think stand out that could give the United States a run for their money?
Yeah, I mean, those were the two main ones that I was concerned about. It was Canada and it was France. France with Wemby, I mean, my goodness, Rudy Gobert, they've got plenty of size. That's going to present a real challenge for Team USA, and I'm curious to see how they respond to that. But I was very, very enthused with what we saw out of how they handled Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Because like I said, their weakness in the past has been quick guards. And so I thought, okay, here we go. Team USA is going to be thrown into the deep end here with SGA. And they handled him extremely well. Even when Canada was trying to get, say, Anthony Davis switched onto him, they still did a great job defending him. And so that's got me really optimistic, because what was their Achilles heel in the past They handled no problem in last night's game. So that was exciting. But, yeah, I still look at Canada. I still look at France because you know Canada and the U.S. too. They didn't throw everything. They didn't empty the full bag of tricks last night.
Still so exhibitions.
I do still think those are probably the top two that I'm concerned about.
For sure. For sure. Well, Trevor, I appreciate you hopping on. Let's do this again soon.
Hey, sounds good, Gabe. Thank you for having me.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.